She's one of the world's best-loved saints, and her relics have already visited more than 40 countries, and a piece of her clothing has even been taken up in space by an astronaut. And now, for the first time ever, the relics are coming to England and Wales next week for a month-long tour. In case you're wondering, I'm talking about Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the French Carmelite nun who died in 1897 at the age of 24, and whose fame since her short life has spread across the world, prompting some secular commentators to describe her as a global Catholic superstar. But why does this 19th century saint, who lived an uneventful life within the confines of a Carmelite convent in a small French town, have such an enduring global appeal? An expert on the life of Saint Thérèse, Canon John Udris, is Dean of Northampton Cathedral. He's also the author of two books about the saint. The first is called The Holy Daring, and the second is called The Gift of Thérèse of Lisieux. He told me more about this much-loved and venerated saint, and spoke of his hopes ahead of the forthcoming tour of her relics in Britain.
I'm really excited at the prospect, anticipating eagerly how people are going to respond to that tour. I think it's at this stage hard to judge how people are going to respond. My hope is that if the natural reserved English temperament means that local people, perhaps a little bit unsure at the beginning, that the new communities, that new cultures that comprise our communities here in England and Wales will lead the way. I'm sure those from Africa and Asia, as well as our own travelling community and so on, will find the prospect of the tour immediately attractive and something I hope that we'll learn from.
Okay, so let's go in and look a little bit closer at the figure of this saint. Her relics have been to, I gather, about 40 different countries. I mean, she's got an incredible global appeal, and yet she's somebody who lived in a sort of rural backwater of northern France and barely travelled for the whole of her life. And that was, of course, in the 19th century.
I think one of the amazing things about Thérèse's relics going on tour around the world has been that she is actually fulfilling a dream of hers. She once expressed it so beautifully. She said, "My dream is to travel the earth preaching the gospel." And of course, obviously, she never got the chance to do that while she was alive and a Carmelite nun. But ever since her death, she's been fulfilling that wish. And I think part of that dream is being fulfilled here in England and Wales.
So, how did you first become particularly fascinated by the life and teachings of Saint Thérèse? Tell us something about that.
In the early 90s, I was doing some studies in Rome, and it came to choosing a subject for my thesis. And I was very attracted at the time. The Catechism had just been published, and I was very attracted by something in the final section of the Catechism on prayer, the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, "Let us pray with confidence to the Father." And it's that word that I wanted to explore, and so the thesis was around that concept of confidence. But as I wrote the thesis, I began to sense that for people, generally, we need a person rather than a notion to help us. And so I asked myself, well, who do I know who exemplifies that confidence? And of course, the person that came to mind immediately was Thérèse. And obviously, I had to prove that, to look at her writings and explore that whole concept of confidence. But essentially, my thesis became Thérèse as the icon of that confidence by which we pray the Our Father. So that's how my interest in her began.
And if you had to pick one out, what is your favourite prayer or saying of hers? In fact, if it's quite brief, could you perhaps share it with us?
Sure. I think my favourite prayer of Thérèse, the one that goes to the very heart of what she was about, was in fact the shortest one, the one that she wrote on a little piece of paper and kept in a little pouch above her heart. And it's just simply, "Jesus, make me just like you." So that whole concept of imitation, Jesus was the one that she wanted to be like, to imitate, and that was the supreme ambition of her life and one of the fundamental themes of her spirituality.
So tell us, what was she like as a person? I mean, she had a very difficult life. She had a lot of bereavement, a lot of physical suffering.
I think what attracts me about Thérèse is her straightforward simplicity. When you read her writing, there's something refreshingly honest about it. And I think, I'm sure this is probably part of her universal appeal, is she doesn't try to be something she's somebody she's not. Although she's striving for holiness, she recognizes and acknowledges her weaknesses and her failings. And I think that's something that's such a relief, really, is that here we've got a saint who was weak and who actually sees in her weaknesses her way to God. And I think in that we can all find something encouraging and I think hopeful for our own journey in holiness.
Now, of course, her fame rests entirely, it might be said, given her uneventful life, upon the publication of her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, shortly after her death. How did you feel after first reading this book? What are its great strengths?
I first read The Story of a Soul in my teens. Would you believe the very first place I went to abroad was, I was, I think, about 11. I went on a pilgrimage with my mum to Lisieux, and I know we picked up a copy of The Story of a Soul there. I didn't read it immediately, but in my teens I read it. It was some Ronald Knox's translation, and it's rather syrupy, it's rather flowery language, and I have to say I wasn't in the first instance terribly enamoured of it or struck by it. So it was a few years before I read it again, and the next time I read it, it was John Clark's translation, more recent translation, and a very much more accurate translation of the story. And it was when I read that I was struck by her simplicity, and that's the reason I think I must have since then have read it about six or seven times over again, and always finding something new in it.
Now, you talked about this rather syrupy impression you got the first time you read her autobiography, and St. Thérèse has also sometimes been described as having rather a sort of sugary image. Yet, I mean, she had, shall we say, her dark moments, didn't she? She had doubts over her faith, her physical suffering. So why was she called the little flower, and how accurate is that?
Well, she called herself, in fact, the story, where we get the title, The Little Flower, is the sort of subtitled of The Story of a Soul is the springtime story of a little white flower. So it's her own description in a way of herself. And I think it can be deceptively syrupy or flowery, literally, language. And of course, she was no shrinking violet. She had a fair share of suffering in her life, and indeed towards the end of her life, when at the onset of tuberculosis, the last 18 months or so were a very dark time indeed for her, a time when she felt no consolation from her faith, a time when, you know, she said she now knew what it felt for some people not to be able to believe in God. And yet, at the same time, in those last months, she was able to write some of her most beautiful and passionate writings and prayers and poems, which show us that actually through that crucible of suffering, she was coming to an even deeper and more intimate relationship with the Lord.
You've written two books about St. Thérèse. Tell us briefly what message you're trying to get across in each of them.
In that first book, Holy Daring, this was the book that I then wrote after my thesis in Rome, and this explores the confidence of Thérèse, the fearless trust of Thérèse. This is the dimensions of her spirituality, that one of the crucial dimensions, I would say, the sort of two wings of her way to God are trust and love. They were the words she kept repeating, and that first book explores that whole concept of trust or confidence. The second book is The Gift of Thérèse of Lisieux, and that's quite a different book. It's a book of, you can sort of pick up and perhaps use for prayer. It's illustrated, it's got quotations from her writings, and it explore some of her major themes of her spirituality: littleness, vocation, prayer, Jesus, weakness, gratitude, things like that. So different aspects of her teaching. And it's called The Gift of Thérèse because I think it explores, it comes to open up essentially that her whole understanding of love is to give oneself. In one of her beautiful poems, she says, "Loving is giving everything. It is giving oneself." And I think she has taught us actually that a life well lived is a life well given.
Okay, coming back to the tour of her relics, what do you believe is the main significance and will be the main lasting impact of it?
I hope people will appreciate that the focus of the visit of the relics will be not Thérèse, but Jesus. After all, he was the focus, the supreme goal and ambition of all that she was about. And so I see the forthcoming tour as an opportunity for Thérèse to preach the gospel to us, to preach, to raise up the person of Jesus before us. And I hope that as people approach the relics, as they hopefully will reach out and touch the relics, it will be a way of people reaching out and touching someone who helps us to be in touch with Jesus, essentially. That is my hope and expectation of the forthcoming tour.
I was speaking to Canon John Udris, expert on the life of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux.